An exhortation. Well, it's time to get the Word of God out. All righty. I think I might. Can I use that? Is my phone there? You know, you're lost without these. How many people get lost without these?
Yeah.
If you didn't have a phone, what would you do? You lose your life. It is some a lifeline. I want to welcome everybody watching on live stream. If we get a little bit excited around here and you don't not used to it, well, we do get excited, but we're not always that crazy. Sometimes we get a little enthusiastic. Other times we don't. But today we're shouting the victory. Yesterday was our graduation, and I want to just finish off or carry on in the same vein as we talked about yesterday. And I was had a nice little email or at least a message from Pastor Melly, is her name? Mesmachuk. And anyway, she was thanking us for mentoring all the young people. And didn't mention the old people, just the young people of our city. And we got several young people around here that are just really enthused about the ministry. And I'm so blessed to work along with these kids. I feel privileged to work with them and help them along in the way in the ministry. And I you know, as a minister, I always want to be able to come alongside the younger people that is coming up. And to be an encouragement to them. When I was a young Christian in my early 20s, Pastor Kevin Ashby came here with his wife, and he stayed about 4 years, I believe it is. And he became my pastor. He became my first pastor I ever had, a Christian pastor. My wife and I sat under him, and he trained us. We became youth pastors. We were doing a lot of work. I think we were in church 5 days a week, training really hard, and every Saturday, we were in Bible school from 8:30 in the morning. I think you might remember that as well. Every morning at 8:30, we were there. We were dressed up in suits, and dressing up in a suit and tie, ready to go at 8:30 Saturday morning, was a discipline. Now, we didn't like to do it, but it was a discipline to be able to do that. And a lot of times, we lose that kind of training, so we try to instill in our students the same kind of discipline. We had the privilege of being, under Pastor Kevin over those years. And so we became pastors of a youth group, young people. And now they're all married and have their own children. Some of them have grandchildren. And you can see how life changes a lot. And so I remember having a desire to be in ministry, but also having the desire to work in the world and have my own life. And so I decided I was going to have my own life, and I went ahead and I wanted to become a full-time professor and write some books and different things like that. And while I was in the University of Manitoba in 1989, I had an encounter with Jesus after coming out of a school one evening, and the Lord called me to the ministry full-time. It had to be a supernatural encounter. Very often when someone goes into the ministry full-time, they have a supernatural encounter with God. And God will show them what to do. And God had to show me different things in a very supernatural way to show me that He wanted me, because I had so much in front of me that would prevent me from going into the ministry. A lot of religious thinking, and I had even people told me I would never become a pastor. No one would ever come to hear me preach, and I probably would be the same one. I was thinking about why would anybody come here? But God does something. When He does something, He makes it right. And if I can just change one life and help somebody, I'd be so happy. Different ones have talked to me over the years how much my life meant to them and how I impacted their lives. And so I always felt unwanted over the years. I don't know anybody ever had that problem, being neglected over the years. Of course, I was also My mother was in a residential school, they call that. I'm not sure what they call it. You're impacted by that. And we had a tremendous hard time with my mother's recovery coming out of the school, and really impacted my life in such a way that it disturbed all of us, all of my siblings. And so we came out of that, and I went into the school myself. I went into the residential school and spent some time there myself, and just really impacted my life. And right after residential school, I ended up in training school for the boys home. And so all those things impacted my life. After the training school, I went to jail. I was progressing. and I always tell people, I went to the Army, which was the Salvation Army. And I lived there for a while. I went to school there. And really was a chronic alcoholic, and I would black out lots of times. I always tell my story, even talk to my kids about that. But you know, you can tell your kids something, but they don't want to listen to you. You ever notice that? And so I became a hopeless alcoholic on the street, and beaten and full of black eyes sometimes, and wondering where I was, don't remember for days at a time. But if God can use somebody like that, He can use you. And when I came to the Lord, my life was so broken at that time. I was sober for some time. I came out of jail, ended up back in the Salvation Army. And I remember, you know, God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
I know things don't always turn out the way we want them. And, but God's there for you. Might not always work the way you want it to, but God is there for you. And if you're unsure this morning about coming to Jesus, I would say, give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Him. And I just like to share that story because somebody here or online needs to understand that no matter who you are, how far you've gone, God will use you. Because before you were born, God had a plan. He didn't just make up a plan yesterday. He had a plan long, long time ago. God knows what He's doing. And if we turn back to Him, Jeremiah 29 says that I have a plan for you, a good plan. There's no disasters in there. There's no disappointments in it. There's no hurt in it. There's a hope and a future for you. And I want to encourage you this morning, whoever you are, that God has a plan. No matter how far you've been or somebody you're believing for is gone, God has a way beyond your imagination how to get to those people. If you stand strong this morning. And this morning I want to pray for my cousin who's in the hospital. I don't know if he's given up, people have given him up, but I'm believing. And his body is shut down. And he's been a member of Faith City Church in Geraldton, helping out there with people, driving them to church. And he's been going to church for many, many years there. And I want you to stand with me to pray for him and his family, because I believe the doctors and everyone is just hoping that something might turn for the way. Let's go ahead and pray for him as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We give you thanks because you're the healer. And I know that everyone here, if their loved one was in a hospital, they'd be standing, they'd be believing, they'll be singing, they'll be doing something to stand in faith, standing on your word. And so, Father, we pray that you know you don't have any distance or time. And you're right there, Holy Ghost, right where Marlo is right now, in that ICU room. And we pray that you could turn around the situation and quickening his body. And Father, I just was thanking the other day about Bruce and how his life was. And just last year, his body was shutting down. His heart was having a hard time because of the diabetes and his kidneys and liver and different things like that, and couldn't walk and was so weak. And now look, Father, how far he's come, one day at a time. And I pray in the name of Jesus, we come against that spirit of infirmity upon my cousin. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of the devil over his life. We command health to go into his body. We command his liver to work. We command his kidneys to work. We command his heart to pump blood throughout the entire body. In the name of Jesus, we command that he shall live and not die. Amen. According to your word, we're praying, we're believing your word is stronger than whatever Satan could do. Your name is above every name, every other sickness and disease. So we sent the name of Jesus, and you said you'd heal them. Send your word and heal them. So we thank you for that time in the name of Jesus. So we praise you in the name of Jesus for answering our prayer. We stand for all the family that they will stand in peace in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, be seated. Thank you, Lord. If you go to your Bibles with me, please, I'll minister at least 30 minutes, 30 seconds. I want to talk to you about finishing your assignment. Finishing your assignment. Carrying out your ministry, your assignment, the plan or purpose that God has placed on your life. As I mentioned to you, I want to have an extension of what we were talking about yesterday. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul here is writing to the church at Colossae. Evidently, there was a young man that was thinking about perhaps quitting. Quitting and probably mostly being dissuaded about following God's plan in his life. And I believe there's people here that God wants you to finish your plan, the plan that he has for your life. You'll have very many opportunities to quit. It doesn't take very much to quit. But it takes a whole lot of determination, stick-to-itiveness to stay with God. Over in the 4th chapter, 17th verse, Paul is talking to the man, reminding him here. He says, "And say to Archippus." Everybody say Archippus. You know, with a name like Archippus, you know, God is really doing something. If your name is Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Everybody say the ministry.
Ministry.
That's the plan. The ministry is what God wants you to do for him. It's the plan. The assignment. Notice it says that the Lord gave you. And somehow this man forgot that God gave him an assignment. And very often when you're in life, it's so easy because we live in the natural and we're touched. You know, the Bible says we're touched. Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, and things that come against us. You can be so disturbed in your mind and your emotions that you forget what God wants you to do. He said it was the Lord that gave the ministry. It wasn't an organization. It wasn't a group of people. It wasn't some special person, a pastor perhaps, maybe. It wasn't anybody but God himself. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, if you look at the Amplified, I don't have those on my notes, but just going back, that God had a plan, a good plan for you, that he had, you know, designed before you were ever born. That God had already made this wonderful creation, this divine plan in your life. And the devil wants to do everything he can to get you off of it. And all the blessings of God, all the greatness and all the wonderful things that you could have and all the wonderful feelings of it that you could experience is in that plan. Outside of that plan, there's darkness and disappointment. And sometimes we take a little hiatus from the plan and we go our own, do our own thing. We find out that life is not as green as you thought it was, doing something different. And it says in there that God had that plan. He made that. You know, Galatians chapter 1 verse 1 talks about over there that Paul said that God called me to be an apostle. I was called by God and Jesus, he said. It wasn't an organization. It wasn't somebody else, but what God had called, he had determined it. And so, you know, we look to people for you know, for encouragement. You know, in my life as a Christian person, I look dearly. I look for people to encourage me, and I found none. And when God was doing something, there was people there who actually were, to my surprise, were jealous of what God was doing in my life. And yet I was, you know, just trying to hang on and just trying to stay with Jesus. And yet I was pushed down. And it's not that easy to stay, but you have to be determined. And that's why God had to impact my life on several occasions with an incredible experience in the Spirit. And I've been out in the Spirit. I came back, even though I had such an impact of the Spirit, it's still, I live in the flesh, and I still had to encounter the natural. I remember listening to Brother Hagin, he would say things like, you know, God gave him a tangible anointing where he felt the power of God to show him as a sign that I called you. And he would give him these demonstrations of power, so it was a sign to him and to the people watching him that God was on him. Very often you see that in Paul's writings. God will have to impact you that in that way to keep you in, because the devil is doing his best to get you off the plan. Your life is so important to someone. Your life is so significant to someone else that God has designed for you to meet that person that you're going to impact. Scientists tell us that, you know, we have a small range of people that we highly impact in our life. But there's many people that we do impact, but there's some people that are closest to us that we impact the most. So here, Colossians 4:17, Paul tells his man to carry out the ministry or the assignment that God had given him. So God had predetermined that assignment for this man's life, and he's predetermined an assignment for you. He's given you a purpose. Everybody is looking for a purpose. They're looking to find some significance. And I, you know, as I taught almost 20 years at the college, and I taught a lot of students and met a lot of students over the years, and talked to them about they want some purpose in life. Everybody wants a purpose. Everybody wants to feel, psychology tells us everybody wants to feel significant. You want to feel that you're a part of something, and they tell us, social scientists tell us, that we want to be a part of a group. Everybody wants to be part of the group to identify with, so that we can feel important, that we're fitting in. We want to fit in somewhere. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and 18 that God has specifically designed for you a place where you fit in. That you mean something to someone, and they mean something to you. And you fit in there, you know, just like a glove, like a piece of puzzle. That God had set you in the church as it pleased him. Not as it pleased you. Very often we look for, if I feel good about it, doesn't always feel good, naturally speaking, but in the Spirit, you know this is the right thing. It might not even be the right culture. Has nothing to do with your culture, has what God wants you to do. And those are important, yes, but not in the ultimate way what God wants you, what he wants for your life. You are to fulfill the plan. And that man, Archippus, he was to fulfill the plan, and God had to move in a special way, in some way, that God told Timothy to tell the people, tell that pastor at that church, to tell Archippus to fulfill that plan. You know, when we talk about ministry, and I saw this the other day at a friend's, you know, we have friends in ministry. There's two things in life. God has either called you to full-time ministry, or has called you to the ministry of helps. And that is, the ministry of helps is to come under come alongside with somebody else to help them fulfill what God has called them to do. Yeah. And I'll be very honest with you. I did not want to be in the front line. I didn't want to be doing, being the leader. And I told Pastor Kevin, I just want to be alongside with you. I just want to be an usher. And I remember being outside when I had a tremendous impact, life-changing experience in my life. I was not going to church. I just felt I wasn't welcome. I didn't want to go back to the street because I know what's eventually going to happen. I was kind of in limbo. You ever go through a limbo situation? And I didn't know what to do. We all go through those seasons. Anyway, I wanted to quit. But God gave me one scripture. Anita and I, we weren't married. We were just buddies. Christians. I met her in school. And she asked me to be her husband. The very first date. You know that's a joke. Well, anyway, we were friends in school, had a bunch of friends, and we went to church. And then we were looking for church. We were looking for something. God was doing something in our lives, and we decided to go to church as a group. We walked into this one church. This church is not significant. It wasn't a great building. It didn't have nice chairs, and the atmosphere, the physical atmosphere wasn't anything. But I walked into that room. The pastor was preaching, and he mentioned Romans 11:29. He says the gifts and callings of God are unchangeable, are irrevocable. God does not take his call back once he's called you. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. Because I felt in my life, I failed God so much that he didn't want anything to do with me. And I listened to the devil. And if you listen to the devil and his crowd, they'll disqualify you. Like that. But God sees something different in you than everybody else. And so I said, it changed my life. When they say one word can change your life. Well, that word changed my life. And I remember reading in the scripture where the psalmist says, God, David failed. And he failed miserably. But he said, I just want to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I just want to help that way. And that's exactly what I felt like. I just want to help. I don't want to be up front. I don't want to do any prophesying, healing anybody. I just want to help out. I just want to be accepted. I just want to belong somewhere. Just let me be an usher. I'll be a great elder. And I want to help somebody. And then we were given, we come back from the university, our university training when the Lord had called. And I still had to finish my thesis. I finished it back when I came back here. They said, if you leave university, you probably never will finish the thesis. And my wife, helplessly, she has many degrees. She helped me out many times. I know in heaven, the Lord will give her ultimately the best degree ever. So she helped me with everything I did in ministry. So God wants you to finish. So let's help encourage each other to finish our assignment. Over in Romans chapter 16, 1 and 2, I'm reading the New Living Translation. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. And again, what a name like Phoebe, what a name like Roma, God is doing something. I always have fun with my name. I hated my name all my life. Until I wrote my book. My name is Sue. How do you do? Because I always felt that they gave me a woman's name. Because everyone I met in Roma, there was always a woman. I saw some men that were named that, but I never met them. But anyway, I realized today you can have any kind of name you want. You can call your name Caribou if you want to. Whatever you want to call your name. But anyway, he says, I commend to our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon. in the church at Centria. You know, a deacon is a server. The word deacon is translated servant, server, helper. It says in there at the church at Centria, welcome her as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. God wanted the people around this Phoebe to be encouragement, to have been encouragement to this woman. Because she was working in the ministry. She was a pastor, apparently. Help her in whatever she needs. You know, you don't have to have a great mind. Just come and say, Pastor, what do you want me to do? I'll give you an assignment. You know, there's always something to do. And we have to be humble. For she has been helpful in many ways, especially to me. You know, Paul had a sentiment towards this woman because she was very helpful. And Paul was extending the favor of encouragement to her that someone helped this woman. Help her out. Be helpful to her. It's very important that we continue in ministry or in life for the sake of those that we are connected to in the body of Christ. The people around us need us more than we think. You know, I gave 10 reasons why what Bible school didn't teach me yesterday. I heard that message so many times over the years by our own pastor in different settings. One of them is to realize, to know how God is bigger than you can imagine. He's so big. And that God, you know, you need friends more than you think. You know, people need you. And so let us be encouragement to other people in the ministry. Moses, you know, he had Aaron and Hur to help him hold his hands up. You know, there's an illustration where they helped held his hands up when they were fighting the enemy. And when they held his hands up, they were winning the battle. When his hands got tired and he let down, the enemy started to beat the people. So we all need help. We're all not equipped with everything we need ourselves. We need one another. You have a piece of the puzzle. I have a piece of the puzzle. This one has a piece. That one has a piece. We're all in it together. And to serve God. Thank you, Lord. So there's specific tasks. Romans 12, 4 to 6 says that we have specific tasks that we're to do. You know, you're going to know on the inside of you what it is. Sometimes it's a very short one. God will give you another one. He'll have you do this, then he'll have you do something else. Around here in this church, we try to get people to have different jobs. Some people just like staying in one job. It's hard to push them out once they stay there. You don't want to lose people. Everybody has a job. We're not anointed to sit. We have something to do. And there's three general things that you bring to church. Number one, you bring your faith and your prayer to the church. Ephesians 6:18 is for everybody. That we all need to pray for the vision. Pray for the strength of God. Pray for this. And whatever it is. And secondly, we all bring, you know, whatever anointing that we have or, you know, skill or, you know, whatever it is. You know, 1 Peter 4:10 says we all bring our skill, our talents to God and to help out in the ministry, in the church. As I mentioned to you, everybody here, you're either called to a full-time ministry or you're either called to help somebody in a full-time ministry. And so I learned that from school. If you're a traveling minister, you still belong in the local church. A traveling minister needs to have a full-time home. Everybody belongs somewhere. And it's important that we stay strong. Thirdly, we all bring our financial and resources to God to help out with the plan. It takes money to do things. Everybody has to bring something. And I want to thank people during this time, during these times, you've been faithful to send in your email, through email, you know, your blessings. We thank God for that. Thank you so much. Without you, we couldn't do it. And God's church is being blessed because of it. So, in this calling, notice one of the young fellows read this scripture yesterday, 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who has saved us? Who has saved us?" Here is one minister talking to another minister. Paul is talking to Timothy. They're both ministers. Timothy was a pastor. Paul is an apostle. He said, "Who has saved us?" Notice this. "And called us." See, we don't tell God what to do. God tells us what to do. He calls us to do something, to go somewhere, to help somewhere. With a holy calling. Everybody say holy calling. Well, the holy calling, you know, that just means that he's separated you specifically to something. With a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his divine purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want to tell you something. I've been following different ones over the years, and I made it my point to read up on ministers who are doing something in church all over the world. I just started reading up on their calling and researching, you know, finding out different things. And Brother Hagin, over the years, I've followed him, and I said, "I'm going to follow this man. I like what he's doing. I want to have his same spirit." He said, "Every time I got sick, every time physically I got sick," one time he said he was preaching, he fell off like a thing like that and took out his arm. And he went to the doctor, happened to be a special nurse in the audience, and they helped him out. He went to the doctor. And then he went to a medical place where happened to be a special doctor. And the doctor looked at him and says, "You know, we have good news and bad news for you. One is that your arm is not broken." Woo! You know, thank God. But he said, "It's worse. But this is worse than having a broken arm. You pulled it right out. You pull all the ligaments and everything else. It's going to take such a longer time to heal. And you'll probably be like for almost a year. You'll have to have, all this therapy. And we're going to try to put you back together." And you know how disappointing. And he's preaching in the church. And he falls over and his arm is taken out. You mean there's people in church that are out of the will of God? Yes. So while he's there, Jesus appears to him while he's in emerge. And Jesus said to him, "The reason why that happened to you is that you're not in my perfect will. And you're at a place at a disadvantage where the devil can get to you because you're in the permissive will. You're not in my perfect plan, but you're in the permissive will. It's a gray area. You're not selling drugs. You're not killing anybody. But you're just out of the will. Just get out of the will." And the Lord said to him, "We're going to heal you, but I'm going to let something happen here. It's going to take a very short time, shorter than they said, but the reason why you need to learn, you'll get better, but you'll have to wear a little sling for a little while." Another time, he got out of the will of God. Now, let me tell you something here. It wasn't because he was like stealing money from the church or teaching something wrong. It's just that he wasn't doing what God told him to do as far as assignments, because God told him, "Here's what I want you to do," and he didn't do it as far as ministry is concerned. So another time he's preaching in the Full Gospel International Men's Conference. He fell over and had a heart attack in church. And the ministers were helping him out. They were helping him out, and his wife was working with the children. And the Lord spoke to his wife working in another part of the building. The Lord says, "You better run. Kenneth needs you." So she came running, just by the Spirit. And he's dying on, you know, there. The Lord said to him, I want you to lay your hands on your chest. Because when I appear to you, the anointing is in your hand. And if you lay your hands on yourself, you will be healed. And the Lord told him again. The reason why you had a heart attack is because you're out of my perfect will. Or Satan can get a hold of you. He said, when you are in ministry and you're higher up and older in the things of the Lord, no, God will protect you because you don't know very much if you're just a brand new Christian. You're new in the Lord. And so he said, this happened to him because he's a minister of worldwide renown. And the Lord said to him, the reason why it happened to you again is because you're out of my will. I told you to teach on these subjects. Teaching on these subjects. And you haven't done it. You're doing what you only want to do. I was at a Benny Hinn conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You and I were there. We went to a few of them together at Benny Hinn's meetings. We traveled wherever Benny Hinn was. We were partners. And I don't know if you're still a partner. But anyway, we went traveled everywhere where Benny was, and we listened to his stories, and I would research, and I'd get out my things, and I'd hear what the people are saying, and how this is going on, and so on. And so one day, he said, after service, he goes home and has a shower, you know, for the rest of the day, after the church service, and he fell over and collapsed, you know, in the shower. And they rush him to the hospital. The doctor specialist says that, you know, you have a hole in your heart. You have to stop ministry now. And while he's in there, he said he heard footsteps and somebody come walking in the door. And there's Jesus. Jesus said to him, the reason why you got sick is because you're out of my will. You know, I think we need to understand some things about, you know, we blame the devil for a lot of things, but, you know, we're just not listening the way we should be. Maybe we weren't prospering like we should. Maybe there's some things where we should be doing when we're not doing it. It's not what you're doing, it's what you're not doing. As I was saying, you're either called to the full-time ministry or you're called to serve someone else. With someone else. And like I said, I wouldn't want to be traveling and going flying to China when God didn't call me because, hey, that plane might not even stay up there. You know, whatever it is, wherever you are, I want to make sure that I'm in the perfect will of God. And that's takes, you know, like where today we say, like, you know, hey, my life is my life. I can do what I want to do. Yes, yeah. In some ways, you can do that. You can say that. But really, your life is God's. You're a servant, a love servant of God. And God wants you to follow His plan. And to fulfill that plan, it is so important for you to fulfill the plan, but because there's somebody there that you need to meet that you will impact, that you will help. You know, we need all your skills. We're going to build an auditorium over here. I think we might be building a 1,000-seat auditorium over here. We're looking to build a women's center out here. And when I said that, you know, lots of folks said, I want to help out with that. You got to say things. It takes faith and courage to say things when you don't have a dime. Amen. It takes faith and courage to say you're healed when you're sick. Yeah. Right, Brother Bruce? He says, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, you know. Doctor says, no, these are the things wrong with you. When people tell you things, but you know what God says, so important to keep our assignment. I think I'm going over my time here. But we're gonna baptize every one of you this morning. I'd like to have the singers, musicians, the exhorters, the dancers. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you, and then, I mean, I went off on, of course, my notes. Girls, you know that. They'll say, Pastor doesn't follow his notes. Hallelujah. We want to pray. Praise God. We need you. God needs you. Someone needs you. Someone's calling out for you somewhere. Some pastor needs your tithe. Some pastor needs a piano player, an usher, a greeter, a counter, a child care worker. Somebody needs a good door greeter. Snow removal. A good technician, a television crew. These guys here, faithful, the girls, the men are on today, the women are off today. And as I said, I've just the privilege to have these young men. I feel like a proud grandpa. I'm a grandpa, but I'm not, you know, it's not my grandkids, but this kid here made me proud. That kid made me proud yesterday as he spoke about, you know, the things about what they got out of the Bible school. Let's pray. Everybody bow your heads. We're going to pray the prayer of commitment and dedication to God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone here has an assignment from God. There's nobody here that you haven't said something to. You've already spoken to them. This man evidently, Lord, Archippus, he forgot about it. He was insensitive to it, and you had to find somebody to tell him. I pray that everyone here, that you would send someone to remind them about the call, how important that is on their lives. And their life really matters to someone. Their talent, you know, matters to somebody or a lot of people. And their finances matters to someone in the ministry. And that they matter to someone else. And I know as a pastor, I feel so grateful sometimes going home, serving with all these young people, and how I feel encouraged going home, and tears come to my eyes to see that there are people there that are working alongside with me. Many, many times I prayed and cried when we were alone together, my wife and I said, God, please send someone to help us carry the load. And you've done it. You've helped us. And you're continually. We need more and more people to work the ministry. There's so much impact in our city. Thank you for Melody sending us a note yesterday telling us thank you for leading these young children, these men and women in the ministry, mentoring them in our city. I want to thank you for that. And those people who saw the graduation on television yesterday and said, I want to go to Bible school. And those ones, they're coming in. And even this young man has been calling us continually hounding us from Africa. He said, I want to come to Bible school. I want to come to Bible school. Bring that man here if you have to. Give him a place. Open the door for him. Thank you for the anointing. I just sensed the anointing there. God's sending the anointing right now upon people in this place. God's opening a brand new area. He's enlarging your area of ministry right now. The anointing of God is falling in this room. The power of God has been released. Let's sing a song together. The power of God is here. Ladies, hallelujah. God is here. Let's go ahead and stand up as we sing. Give your life to Jesus. Come to God. Come on, let's sing it.
All the world will praise your great name.